To, da ti vladajo, pomeni,
da te nadzirajo,
opazujejo,
indoktrinirajo,
pridigajo,
ocenjujejo,
presojejo,
cenzurirajo
in ukazujejo ljudje,
ki nimajo za to ne pravice, ne znanja in ne vrline.
Da ti vladajo, pomeni, da si
registriran,
popisan,
obdavčen,
označen,
patentiran,
odpuščen,
preprečevan,
reformiran,
kaznovan.
Pomeni tudi, da si pod pretvezo javne koristi in splošnega interesa
dresiran,
ogoljupan,
izkoriščan,
monopoliziran,
izsiljevan,
izžeman,
varan,
okraden. Pri najmanjšem znaku odpora ali ugovoru
te zatrejo,
kaznujejo,
zaničujejo,
navigujejo,
preganjajo,
zmerjajo,
potolčejo,
razorožijo,
zadušijo,
zaprejo,
ustrelijo,
obsodijo,
preženejo,
žrtvujejo,
prodajo,
izdajo.
In da bi bila mera polna, te še smešijo, slepijo, sramotijo in onečastijo.
Črna luknja!
Avtorja knjige Anarhizem v Afriki, Mba in Igarive, trdita, da je večina tradicionalnih afriških družb po večji ali manjši meri že vključevala anarhistične elemente, kot je decentraliziranost in odsotnost družbene stratifikacije, kar pomeni, da anarhistični ideali niso nov pojav v afriškem kontekstu. O anarhizmu v Afriki se bomo zato nocoj pogovarjali z nigerijskim anarhistom Mbajem, enim od avtorjev knjige z naslovom, kot rečeno, Anarhizem v Afriki, ki poskuša prikazati zgodovino anarhističnih idej v Afriki ter upozarja na povezavo med tradicionalnimi afriškimi skupnostmi in anarhizmom.
Anarchy!
Nekateri zgodovinari so prepričani, da lahko v predkolonialni Afriki govorimo o obstoju dveh širokih skupin družb. Prve naj bi bile družbe, ki so ustvarile velike imperije, druge pa tiste, ki jih niso. Antropolog Paul Buanan afriške družbe brez držav poimenuje plemena brez vladarja oziroma kar urejena anarhija. Organiziranost afriške družbe pred in po prihodu kolonializma opisuje eden od avtorjev knjige Anarhizem v Afriki, nigerijski aktivist Mba.
What we had were clusters of village groups, you know, that were to a great extent autonomous and felt independent of each other. You know, it was colonialism that first and foremost, you know, started referring to, you know, language groups, you know, as a single entity. You know, prior to these groups, you had a multiplicity of villages, you know, within a particular language group, and every village felt autonomous of all the other villages, you know, and they cooperated only as the need arose, and of course they also went to war among themselves, even though they spoke the same language. It was the very first time, you know, these village groups, you know, that spoke the same language, you know, started being referred to as, you know, one group, one tribe, or one ethnic group, you know, was really at the point of colonialism. You know, because colonialism and the introduction of the capitalist relations of production, you know, brought with them the phenomenon of scarcity of values in the economy. In the traditional setup, you know, there was no question of a member of the village, you know, who going hungry, you know, for a day. It was not possible. The traditional African society was able, you know, to provide, you know, food, you know, for all the members of the village. The traditional society also was able to provide housing. There was no question of homelessness, you know, but with the introduction of capitalist relations of production and the scarcity of values that it engendered, you know, it now became imperative, you know, for all the village groups, the clusters of village groups, you know, that spoke the same language, you know, to begin to band together, you know, as one. You know, because with the new capitalist relations of production, you know, and the scarcity that it has brought, there was now a climate of competition among the various, you know, social groups and component units of these nation states. You know, so the consciousness of tribe and ethnic group, the way we know them today, it was at this point that it took root, you know, because there was now an advantage, you know, in being in large numbers. You know, so these otherwise independent and autonomous village groups started coming together, you know, for the purposes of the competition, you know, with the other other language groups, you know, that also existed. It was this singular act that actually galvanized the village groups into the tribes and ethnic groups that we know today on the African continent. You know. So what I have said in effect is that, save for those African societies that had actually gotten to the point of feudalism, you know, prior to the coming of colonialism and the introduction of the state system and capitalism on the African continent, you know, a vast majority of traditional African society, you know, was essentially organized along, you know, village lines, and these villages felt autonomous, and even where several villages spoke the same language, they did not see themselves as one, and the consciousness, you know, having to band together and, you know, in order to be able to compete, you know, with the other groups, you know, did not arise, you know, but capitalism and the state system, you know, which colonialism introduced, you know, succeeded in doing this, and that was how the phenomenon of tribes and ethnic groups in the way we know them today arose in different parts of Africa.
Kapitalistični vplivi so Afriko prvič oplazili med valom ekonomske ekspanzije, ki je spremljala industrijsko revolucijo v Evropi. V največji meri pa je bil Berlinski kongres leta 1878 in njegova posledica, torej razdelitev interesnih sfer, tisti, ki je zagotovil prevlado imperialističnih interesov nad interesi tradicionalnih družb. Vključitev Afrike v globalno ekonomijo je bila zgolj periferna, saj ni vodila k vzpostavitvi popolnega kapitalističnega gospodarstva. Končni rezultat je bila deformirana, neuravnovešena kapitalistična struktura, ki je ustvarila afriško kulturo, odvisnosti od razvitih kapitalističnih držav, saj dobiček vedno končal pri njih. Mba pojasnjuje.
It is also important in trying to understand various problems and the difficulties on the African continent, to also look at, how the African society, was incorporated into the global capitalist system. Prior to the coming of colonialism, they existed, they were pre-existing pre-capitalist relations of production and modes of organizing society, which I had talked about and which I referred to as African communalism. But with the coming of colonialism now, through the instrumentality of trade, investment, the activities of multinational corporations, the colonial states, gradually started integrating the African economies into the global capitalist system. And as these relations intensified, African economies gradually became, an integral part of the global capitalist system. Integral part in the sense that they were not equal. The African economies, were not actually operating on equal footing, with the global capitalist system. The African economies became appendages, or peripheral components of the global capitalist system, the colonialists, what they did was to introduce, the phenomenon of cash crop. Before colonialism, African farmers essentially farmed and produced what they ate and what they needed. But as colonialism came and the integration of these economies into the global capitalist system, intensified, it became necessary for African farmers, to produce those crops, which they did not actually need or which they did not actually use by themselves. They now started producing for the external market. That was how, the production of things like coffee, cocoa, and all the other, cash crops, granite, palm oil, became intensified over and above the needs, the actual needs, of these societies. What capitalism did essentially, was to create a market in the metropoles, that in different ways continue to service, the needs of the global capitalist system. And at the point of independence for African states, this very structure, continue to exist. And that was what, the indigenous bourgeoisie and the political elite in Africa that took over power from the colonialists inherited. And it wasn't so long before this political elite ran into trouble and the African economies became highly unstable, because they became very much susceptible to the vagaries and trends in the global capitalist system. So that anything that affected the global capitalist system, automatically affected these economies in Africa. And because these economies are not autonomous on their own, they are integral, appendages of the global capitalist system. The effects of the crisis in the global capitalist system, in fact, tends to affect, these appendages much more than the mainstream capitalist economies. So, I'm just trying to establish the roots, of the crisis and difficulties, we have on the African continent. Thank you.
Posledica je bila, da so se pojavili novi družbeni razredi, med drugim migracijski delavci, poleg njih pa tudi sindikati, ki zaradi svoje hierarhične ureditve, pomankanja revolucionarne perspektive in prevelikih političnih ambicij posameznikov niso uspeli doseči vplivnejših rezultatov. Tudi afriška pot v socializem se ni obnesla. Nekateri izmed najbolj reakcionarnih in nehumanih režimov, ki so se kdajkoli pojavili na afriških tleh, so bili namreč prav socialistični. Obnesli pa se niso niti tako imenovani programi strukturnega prilagajanja, ki naj bi Afriki pomagali z gospodarske katastrofe. Nigerijski aktivist Mba pojasnjuje.
Severe economic crisis, you know, overtook the whole of the African continent. And by the 1980s, the severity of this economic crisis was such, you know, that African states, African economies could no longer cope. And a second phase of the integration of African economies into the global capitalist system, you know, now ensued. The IMF and the World Bank, you know, came together and put up a program of structural adjustment, you know, and sold it. They were able to sell this remedy or this therapy, you know, to African countries. What the program of structural adjustment, you know, essentially involves are deregulation of the economy, trade liberalization, you know, devaluation of the currency, removal of, you know, social subsidies, and increased, you know, defense spending and opening up of the market, you know, for capital and multinational corporations to really be able, you know, to penetrate the these African economies, you know, more and more. And by the mid-1980s, you know, close to 36 or more African states, you know, were already implementing the structural adjustment program. And it is more than 15 years, you know, since SAP was introduced on the African continent. And one might want to ask, you know, what has been the impact of the structural adjustment on African economies. The impact, you know, generally speaking, you know, has been negative. You know, the structural adjustment program has proved, you know, most incapable of addressing the problem, the economic problems, you know, which African countries face. In most cases, it has either reinforced these problems or, in fact, exacerbated them. And today, virtually every African economy, you know, is in deep and serious crisis. You know, there is massive unemployment. You know, the unemployment levels in some of the African countries are as much as 50%, if not more. There's a creeping inflation. The national currencies of most African states have become worthless. Social utilities, social services, and social infrastructure, you know, are decaying. And in the midst of all this, you know, Africa has been able to accumulate, you know, massive external debt, you know, which they cannot handle.
Africano, laboratorio de apocalipsis, allí campean sus cuatro jinetes eternos, hambre, enfermedad, guerra y muerte, bendecidos pues por el nuevo orden mundial. Organismos internacionales gubernamentales, ONG sin más la de asignar, desangran y parasitan la sangre roja del continente de Ébano, en un intento hediondo de repartir los restos del gran cadáver. Fabricantes y comerciantes de destrucción tienen y tendrán el beneplácito internacional, pues el imperio propagandístico tiene algo que contar y no hay nada mejor que el dolor y el sufrimiento de los pueblos. África grita e implora auxilio y este parece siempre que va a llegar. Falsa ilusión orquestada y premeditada, pues tan solo es una vuelta de tuerca más. El emporio económico ordena y manda. Cuentas abiertas de ayuda al tercer mundo. Cuentas abiertas por la entente bancaria. Buen negocio es este de la muerte. Y África es para todos el mejor exponente. Y África es para todos el mejor exponente. Y África es para todos el mejor exponente.
Težko gospodarsko situacijo v Afriki so kot vedno v svojo korist znale dobro izkoristiti multinacionalne korporacije. Situacijo in odziv prebivalcev na njo na primeru afriške države Nigerije nadalje pojasnjuje nigerijski aktivist Mba.
I shall illustrate this with Nigeria, you know, because in the past 5 years, you know, there's been a serious uprising in different parts of the oil producing areas in Nigeria. You know, the oil producing areas are suffering a lot of untold hardship, you know. First and foremost, their environment and natural habitat, you know, have been devastated, you know, through the activities of multinational oil corporations, you know, led by Shell, you know, Chevron, Mobil, Agip, Elf, and all the rest. And the exploration activities of these multinational oil corporations have been intensified, you know, following the economic difficulties, you know, which the country, you know, found itself in. And it is also the same thing for other for different parts of Africa, you know, where you have natural resources. There is an intensification of, you know, mining activities in different parts of Africa because the government see this intensification as the only way, you know, they can make more money. And in the process of this intensification, the environment is being severely devastated. You know, that is one. Secondly, the people are being forced, you know, as a result of the devastation, you know, to leave their farmlands, leave their fishing occupation, you know, because the waters, the farmlands have been so devastated that the people can no longer fish, they can no longer farm. So there is, in fact, increasing unemployment. And among, you know, the youths, you know, who are leaving colleges and universities, you know, there is massive unemployment, you know. So it is the combination of all these factors, you know, that have galvanized the unemployed, the displaced peasants, and the different oil-producing communities and other parts of the country, you know, to really begin to take their own destiny in their own hands. Because several complaints and representations to government, you know, have not yielded anything. If anything, the government has responded, you know, with even greater and vicious repression. You know, in different parts of the oil-producing communities in Nigeria, there are actually troops, government troops, you know, the police, the army, you know, guarding, taking over the entire villages. And this, in my view, is in fact the worst form of internal colonialism, you know. And in perpetuating these repressive activities, you know, the Nigerian government has done this hand in glove with the multinational corporations. It has been proved beyond doubt, you know, in Nigeria, for instance, that Shell actually arms and sources ammunition for the Nigerian government, you know, is been proved, you know, beyond doubt. And I was just going through a recent documentary done by one or two American journalists who visited Nigeria. And in one portion of the interview with the Chevron managing director, the Chevron managing director actually admitted, you know, that they are in the habit of using, you know, Chevron helicopters, you know, to ferry security agencies and troops into the oil-producing areas. And these are troops that enter these oil-producing areas and massacre people. And most of these massacres and killings, you know, don't even get mentioned or heard anywhere.
Večina težav na afriškem kontinentu je gospodarske narave, je prepričan nigerijski aktivist Mba. Številne težave in krize so namreč prav stranski učinek močno razširjene revščine, ki je ne poznajo nikjer drugje v svetu. Mba pojasnjuje.
And what many people actually see as being ethnic conflicts, as being tribal conflicts, are actually concrete economic difficulties and concrete expressions of economic needs and demands being made by African peoples on the state system, and the state system is unable to deliver on most of these demands. It's not able to also to be able to mediate crisis and conflicts among the various social groups in the in these countries. A classical case of the collapse of the state system on the African continent is, of course, a country like Somalia, which in the past 7 years, has not had a government. Instead, warlords have virtually partitioned Somalia into small, empires of their own, which they administer and continue to run as they like. And to show you clearly that most of the problems on the African continent are not really tribal or ethnic. Somalia is actually one of the few homogeneous countries on the African continent. Somalia is an entirely homogeneous country, and it has only one language. And all the populations in Somalia speak the same language. But for 7 years, Somalia has remained without an effective, government. We have also seen this kind of scenario in Liberia. We've seen it in Sierra Leone too. Where for several years, the various governments there, there was no effective government in these countries. Even in those African states, where you have, semblance of government, you still find out that, large portions of the territories of these countries are actually under rebel occupation. If you take countries like Angola, since independence, close to 40% of Angola has been under rebel occupation. That's the UNITA. If you take a country like the Sudan, since the 1980s, the southern half of Sudan, has been under rebel occupation. If you take the Congo, a substantial part of the Congo today is under rebel occupation. If you take Mozambique, if you take Chad, and different other countries on the African continent, you see that this is the rule, rather than the exception. So you can clearly see, that the state system on the African continent has collapsed. In fact, it has failed. And in the face of this crisis of the state system on the African continent, what the Western governments have been recommending to Africa is Western liberal democracy. That is a situation whereby you hold periodic elections. Maybe.
Ja, to pa je tudi vse v nocojšnji črni luknji, ki sem jo pripravila Gita. Blaž in Matej še naprej ostajata z vami, mi pa se spet slišmo naslednji teden. Čau!
What's a revolution to you?
To kill their bosses and take their money.
Dobro, jebate, kako ti možeš u jednoj demokratskoj državi dizat narod na ustanak?